Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. He is risen. It is awesome to be here this morning. Today, I think, for me, has been the least tense of all these online services. Praise the Lord for that, because over 3.5 weeks, Pastor Luke? 3.5. Pastor Luke is over here at the command center. In fact, I'm going to take a photo just to remember all this for the future. So, let me make sure everybody's... Okay. All right. Because this technology is as much a part of the service now as anything, and I would like to tell you... That I thought I was going to say I vacillated between peace and calm and then anxiety and intensity and frustration. The more I thought about it, that's not true. I'm rarely peaceful or calm. I just have varying degrees of intensity. But last Sunday, Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Lord, save us now. The music you heard at the beginning of the service, Jesus Christ is risen today, hallelujah. This is the feast we recorded last week. The organ, we had Paul Johnson on trombone, Emily Johnson, not here today, but was here last week, on the trumpet. We recorded some of it one Saturday. Actually, no, we recorded a Maundy-Thursday piece on Saturday, and two on Sunday, between the services, where Pastor Luke and I were for the first time going to do a Zoom Bible study. We had only a certain amount of time, and... I am inclined to try to squeeze too many things in. I don't know, Paul, is your wife, Pam, inclined to squeeze a lot of things in?
Always,
yeah. So we, between services, in about 7 minutes, we're going to squeeze in, recording some music. And I'm thinking, you know, I want to be flexible. I don't know if I can do this. And I was tense and thinking, we got to get this set up and sound engineer. Here's the trusty microphone you see. And sometimes it even hums if you put it in the wrong place. We're going to get all that set up. And I was just about... I was tense, probably a little more terse with Pam than usual. Well, I don't know that I was mean. And then I heard the first few notes. Jesus Christ is risen today. I heard was it a trombone or a trumpet first? Or was it organ? It was a trombone. That's right, Paul. Very, very humble about the trombone. The trombone, the trumpet, I heard the organ. Then we started singing and suddenly I went from... It's all going to get messed up. There's no way all this is going to work to... It's okay. In fact, I'm at peace. Better than that, there is joy in squeezing all this stuff in to a little 7-minute window. So not only did we sing, Jesus Christ is risen today, but we also sang, This is the Feast. And in that moment... that was preceded by uncertainty and intensity, anxiety and tension inside of me. The peace that passes understanding and joy comes in. Everything is going to be okay. Because Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Everything is going to be okay. Because Jesus Christ is risen today. The sermon text this morning is from Colossians chapter 3. It's probably one of the shortest epistle lessons that we have. One of the shorter ones. Only 4 verses. And it says, If you then have been raised with Christ. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And thank you to the person who put out some construction paper, multicolored sheets here, probably at least 40 of them, 50. I haven't counted them, but a good reminder out there that here when St. Paul says, if you have been raised with Christ, and you have, I have, because not just you were baptized, but you are baptized into Christ's resurrection. Then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He is in control. He is in the seat of power. He's at the control room of heaven. Everything is going to be okay. Nothing is happening outside of His control. He says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Whether or not the technology is going to work, the internet, I mean, those things are helpful tools, but can be consuming. But set your minds on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died. And how does St. Paul say that? Because again, you are baptized into Christ's death. The old Adam is drowned. You are baptized into Christ's death and His resurrection. You are covered in the robe of Christ's righteousness. Your life is hidden in Christ. There is no better place to be than in the one who is your rock and redeemer, who is your mighty fortress. You're safe and secure. And then St. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, and now looking to the future, Christ's second coming, that great and glorious day, then you will appear with Him in glory. Hallelujah. The day for which we all yearn, when all of this tension and anxiety, this groaning and sighing and dying is ultimately swallowed up in victory. But hold fast, have confidence. Rejoice and sing, because Christ is risen. Now the next part of the text, which is not formally assigned as part of our reading, but comes up again once every 3 years as a Christmas reading, is from Colossians 3, and I think it's like 12 to 17. It's one of my favorite texts that I use actually at a wedding, but St. Paul talks about getting rest, getting dressed, to live, to follow Jesus. And so he says, put on then, holy and beloved, put on then the characteristics, the qualities of Christ, the fruits of the Spirit. Because you're clothed in Christ, you are hidden in Christ. He says in verse 14, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. In perfect harmony. Better than I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Well, maybe I would. When that harmony is the song of love and victory and peace that God has placed into our hearts, which is the song of Jesus, the hero of your story. And then in verse 15, he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Sin divides. Sin separates body from soul. Sin separates people from one another. Sin separates human beings from God. But Christ comes and brings all together in unity. And be thankful. Rejoice always, in all circumstances. And then verse 16 is the verse that leading up to this, after last Sunday and all the tension that I had and then the peace that came with singing, and it wasn't just any singing. It wasn't just humming Yankee Doodle Went to Town. But it was singing of Jesus. See, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that doesn't just mean richly as in a lot, but it means let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because it actually does something. Jesus is the one who is the Word made flesh, who came down to save, who was glorified by being lifted up on the cross. But the tomb could not hold Him, because on the third day He was raised. He is victorious. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and then zeroing in where he says singing. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do. Good Christian friends, rejoice and sing. Now is the triumph of our King. See, the thing about music is it goes beyond sometimes what even mere words can express. Sometimes it's the melody, it's the harmony that brings about a richness to the words. Martin Luther would go so far that to say, and many of us are familiar with this quotation, he said, "I would certainly like to praise music with all my heart as the excellent gift of God, which it is, and commend it to everyone." He says, "Next to the Word of God, music deserves the highest praise, because music is something that does something from the outside in, it does something from the inside out. It's visceral." 5 or 6 years ago, I met a Lutheran church musician named Philip Magnus. And in talking with him, he had shared that the goal of music in the church, and I know, Pam, you have echoed this, the goal of music in the church is to, it's very simple. It's not to entertain. It's to deliver the Word of God. To bring this reality that is, in some sense, beyond understanding, sometimes beyond words, and it delivers the Word of God from the outside in, and then it comes from the inside out. It brings it near in a personal way, in an intimate way. Music delivers, it gives, it brings, it conveys, as Pastor Luke said, in your, I've never really referred to you as a millennial, but today I will. On Good Friday, the very somber service, you talked about getting emotional about things, and then you used this term, you had like all the feels. Music can give you all the feels. So feels can be feelings of joy, feelings of sorrow, feelings of melancholy, because sad songs, they say, so much. So turn them on. Turn on those sad songs. Turn on those Easter songs, those Alleluia, Christ is risen songs. And so singing is a great way to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Because it conveys that our Savior is true God and true man. It brings joy and sorrow. It conveys melancholy and confidence. It can come in a major key or a minor key or a something seventh. Is there such a thing as a seventh key? I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I should just ask the expert. Whatever it is, it conveys a lot. But music in the church? But we sing the song of love of the one who is love that has been placed into our hearts. And we know that we are grounded, we are bonded, we are united in a Savior who knew and knows all of those, as Pastor Luke says, feels. Those feelings. To be human is to have feelings. And music is something, I remember a few weeks ago watching a very moving video before the quarantine or social distancing had really hit here, that people in Italy would gather outside and sing through their, well, gather inside, but sing through their windows, and they were singing these songs together. And it united them. And it gave them hope and comfort. It bonded them together, and yet we in the church know that we sing in Christ, we sing because of Christ, we sing through Christ. We sing of Christ. And this shared song, it carries the word of God to us. It testifies what we believe and know. It's interesting, the Lord knew how this week was going to work out. And in our St. John family, we've prayed fervently for Pastor Noel. And the Lord answers all prayers, not always in the way that we want. We prayed boldly for healing, and yet God's answer to that prayer is that Pastor Noel would have peace, that he is at peace, and he's with Jesus. Now, one of the things that in talking with Linda Noel, Pastor Noel's wife, and John yesterterday on the phone, and Gretchen's daughter-in-law was listening in, that they conveyed to me as we were thinking about Easter, is that Pastor Noel, apparently, when he would stand next to or sit next to his father-in-law in church, and on Easter they would sing, "I know that my Redeemer lives," they'd cry. It doesn't seem so strange to me. I mean, it's a statement of hope, of certainty. Why cry? And yet, here, as Linda said, is this sometimes stoic, these sometimes stoic men, or maybe often stoic men of German descent, who are moved to tears. All the feels, Pastor Luke. Today I remembered my Kleenex. See, the goal of music in the church is to deliver the Word of God, and is the Word of God because Christ has come and dwells in us and among us. Jesus is the one whom we know not only wept at Lazarus' death, but the Word of God actually does something. He raised him. Jesus is the one who was heartbroken to see his Father's world marred by sin and death, by the power of the devil as demons would torment. And yet he came and forgives sinners, raises the dead, casts out demons. But in the end, ultimately, he was lifted up on a cross. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. And as Pastor Luke conveyed on Friday, that there was Mary, his mother, St. John the Apostle, heartbroken. So this is the way it ends. All of those emotions. But it wasn't the way it ended. It isn't the way it ended. Because on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And so then a word of praise, a song of praise sung out. The birds chirping, the trees rustling, the scent of new life in the spring air as Christ stood there on the earth, triumphant over sin and death and the power of the devil. Well, the story, I think, gets even better. Well, better. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. But on Friday, as Pastor Luke and I were able to be there via Zoom, and Linda Noel and John and Gretchen were there, we did another blessing, the commendation of the dying. Pastor Luke and I signed off, and there, and John shared this in his Facebook post, the nurses played a song. And then, John said he pulled up a hymn, an Easter hymn. And they say, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And it was in that moment, if I understand John correctly, that Pastor Noel fell asleep in Jesus. He went in peace. He went in peace, I would say, because he knew and he knows that death for a child of God, for those who are hidden in Christ, is like sleep. Because you wake up. You wake up ultimately in the resurrection. You wake up not alone on a cloud, but you wake up face to face with Jesus and all those who are hidden in Christ. Those who are bonded together. Those who sing with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Those who sing with Job, who said confidently, in the midst of suffering, I know that my Redeemer lives. He said, even if my flesh is destroyed, even if everything is taken away, God, you will not desert me. He said, with certainty, because of a word of promise that God made to him, and God never goes back on his promises. Every funeral service is an Easter service. And see, the tension, the strangeness of this moment is, while we're going to have a graveside service for Pastor Noel in a few days, in some sense, this is a bit of a funeral service for Pastor Noel, but it's not just for Pastor Noel. 3 years ago, my first Easter here, I said I can, in some sense, pre-preach your Easter sermon, your funeral sermon, Easter sermon, in some sense, the same thing. Why? Because in the end, you're not the hero of your story, and neither am I. And Pastor Noel is not the hero of his story. It's all about Jesus, the Redeemer who came to save us, to save Parker Noel, to save you and me, the one who lives, the one who comes and intimately dwells with us, who holds us together, the one who is the Prince of Peace, the one who dwells with us richly. So, on this Easter, and on every day, because every day is the day the Lord has made, we, good Christian friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, can sing and rejoice. And right now, it may be singing and rejoicing while at the same time having sorrow and melancholy and hurt, and that's okay. It may be singing through the tears that are at the same time tears of joy and anticipation and tears of sorrow and grief. But they're tears that Jesus holds on to and knows and says, in the end, he will wipe every tear away. So let's keep singing. Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's Jesus who dwells in us richly. Jesus who has blessed us and assured us of his presence. And I pray that not only the Noel family, but my church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would have peace and joy and then tell of it. Sing about it. Maybe sing it from your rooftop if that's safe. Or sing it from your apartment. Or sing it on the street corner or in the shower. But sing the song of love that God has placed into our hearts. Of the one who dwells with us. Who died for sinners. Who's overcome sin and death and the power of the devil. Of the one who fulfills all the promises of God. Jesus, And so we utter our amen for all that he has done. Yes, yes, it shall be so. But also we look forward to and praise him for what he has done. So I'll end where I started. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.